Thank you, Mr. Clardy. I really appreciated the songs you picked. The one in the middle, At One With God, was my sermonette message, so I guess we can just all pack it up. No, we'll review it further. And yes, I'll handle a message. This message will be a sermonette, and I wanted to talk in this sermonette time about why are we all fasting? Have you asked yourself, why am I fasting, and really thought about it? Well, we're going to do that. It was presented to me by a member of this congregation. They were questioning why they were fasting, and it was approached to me in this manner: why are we fasting today? And I thought, this is a valid and legitimate question, so let's just talk about this. So we're all here a little hungry, and I might go a little bit past the sermonette time with the offertory time, but I don't think that there's anybody that's going out for the early bird special, so hopefully you guys will be all right if I take a couple extra minutes. Let's begin by looking at this command to fast over in Leviticus 16. Leviticus 16, this is where we're given this concept on the Day of Atonement. And let's see, we're going to read, we'll pick up later in the chapter, but to introduce some stuff going on here, this chapter starts out on the Day of Atonement, where we learn that this is the one day out of the year where the high priest gets to go behind the veil to the holy place. And so it's a very special day for the high priest. But to do so, he has to make himself pure and clean by following certain sacrifices and instructions that he's supposed to do. We see in verses 3 through 14 that Aaron the high priest is given instructions on sacrifices and instructions that he has to perform for himself before he can enter the holy place. And we see in verses 15 and 16 of this chapter the introduction of the goat sacrifice that we heard in the opening prayer. I appreciate where Aaron sprinkled the blood of the goat on the mercy seat to make an atonement for the holy place due to the uncleanness of the children of Israel due to their sins. In verse 17, we see that this atonement ceremony is a holy place, that it was for the high priest's household, it was for all the assembly of Israel, and it was for the altar. So pay attention to those concepts, and let's read together verses 15 through 22. Picking up in verse 15 here. He shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people. Bring its blood inside the veil. Do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions for all their sins. And he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. And he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and he shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar all around. And he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times, cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. and Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all of their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away to the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabitable land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. So we see in the ceremony, like most all of us are aware, two goats. One was sacrificed, and its blood was used for the purifying of the high priest and of the mercy seat and of the holy place. Let's drop down and read verse 29 and through verse 31 of this passage, and that's where it talks about fasting. In verse 29, "This shall be a statute forever for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord." So we see that the reason was provided to the nation of Israel on why they're supposed to be afflicting their soul. And we don't have time in this sermonette, but if you want to study how afflicting your soul becomes fasting and not eating and drinking all day, you can jot in your notes Psalms 35, verse 13, Ezra 8, 21, and Isaiah 58, 3. Psalms 35, 13, Ezra 8:21 and Isaiah 58:3. All three of those passages relate afflicting the soul to fasting. And so we see here in verse 30 of Leviticus 16 that we should afflict our souls because the high priest made an atonement to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. That is why we fast on this day. I want to read how verses 29 through 31 out of Leviticus 16 sound here in the New International Version. I think this version ties in the causality of our fasting with what is going on here. Leviticus 16, verse 29 in the NIV. "This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the tenth day of the seventh month, you must deny yourselves or fast, and not do any work, whether native-born or a foreigner residing among you, because on this day atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Then, before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins. It is a day of Sabbath rest, and you must deny yourselves. It is a lasting ordinance." So we see that because this atonement was made for us, that is why we're fasting. So the nation of Israel fasted on this day because they were commanded, and sometimes I tell my boys because I said so, and that's good enough. But we do see a much deeper and richer meaning in the New Testament and in the New Covenant, and so we'll explore that. Let's go ahead and turn to Hebrews 9, and we'll read that together. Hebrews 9, and we'll start in verse 1. We know that this has personal significance in our life, and Hebrews 9 is where we can tease the spiritual nature of this ceremony out. Hebrews 9 and verse 1, and we'll read through verse 15. "Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service in the earthly sanctuary." So this is talking about what we read in Leviticus 16 there. "For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part, in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now, when these things had thus been prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered himself for the people's sins committed in ignorance. So that's talking about the service this day. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present times in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of the Reformation. But Christ, now we're starting to see the significance it has here in our life in the New Covenant. But Christ has came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Now with the blood of goats and not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is mediator of the new covenant by means of death. For the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So we see here that Levitical ceremony pointed to this act right here where Jesus Christ was sacrificed for us for the deep, rich meaning that we're celebrating this day on this holy day. Notice what was noted in verse 7, that the holy place was only entered once on this day of atonement in the Old Testament times. And the high priest offered a blood sacrifice once for Israel's sins committed in ignorance. Or, as another translation in the Old King James, that's called the heirs of the people. We read in verse 8 through 10 in Leviticus 16 that the atonement ceremony, or we read in verse 8 through 10 here, that the Levitical atonement ceremony was a shadow of these things to come in the New Covenant atonement. And we read here in verse 11 that Jesus Christ is now our high priest. In verse 12, we see that he entered the most holy place with his own blood sacrifice. And Christ obtained an eternal redemption, one that doesn't have to be repeated by an earthly high priest in physical animal sacrifices year after year. So our high priest is none other than Jesus Christ, and his blood sacrifice made a way to atone ourselves to God the Father and Jesus Christ. How profound is that, brethren? I mean, that is just an awesome, awesome thing that we are celebrating and worshiping and thinking about here in the service today. We shouldn't take it for granted. And that is also why we are fasting. We afflict our souls because our heavenly high priest made this atonement for us. He made it to cleanse us that we can be clean from our sins before the Lord. And it's an awesome, awesome reason. Therefore, we can humble ourselves and we can dwell on this throughout the day today. And there is another therefore that's mentioned here in Hebrews that we read. It's stated in verse 14. Notice that in light of all this, our consciences should be cleansed from dead works to serve the living God. This is expounded more in Hebrews 10 over a page. That'll be the last section we'll turn to in this sermonette. Let's turn back to Hebrews 10 and we'll read verses 19 through 25. Hebrews 10 verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, so we saw that over in chapter 11, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So we see here that these atonement symbols are connected here with things that we can do in this passage in chapter 10. We can stir up each other to good works, and we can come before God in prayer, fasting, and know that we're cleansed, and we can have that faith. And so there is a lot in this day that we can do and that we can realize, and we get that through fasting here, through this commission. We can hold fast to the faith, as mentioned here. So, brethren, the reasons ancient Israel were told to fast on this Day of Atonement was because the high priest of Israel would atone for or reconcile or cover Israel's sins on this day through a blood sacrifice. This is also why we should fast on this atonement, because our high priest, Jesus Christ, has made an atonement for us and covered our sins through his blood sacrifice. This profound meaning goes way beyond an annual blood sacrifice that was made in ancient Israel, like we read about in Leviticus. As Hebrews 9:9 states, the gifts and sacrifices that the physical priests offered were not able to cleanse the conscience of the people who brought them. But our high priest can. He is our atonement sacrifice. He is that perfect sacrifice. He allowed us to be cleaned so that we can stand before God the Father and himself in prayer, in word, in meditation, and in fasting. That is the reason we are fasting today. We are told to afflict our souls in light of this perfect atonement, and it is the least we can do to humble ourselves and dwell on that during this day. So, as you fast today, may you all have a meaningful and rich fast on this Day of Atonement. That concludes the sermonette portion of this service.